everybody, and welcome back to another episode of One for One, a second round episode of One for One. I'm your host, Nolan Schumann, joined as always by my co-host, Miles Fuchs. Miles, it is the eve of the second round. The Oilers are taking on the Canucks tomorrow night. How you doing?
Good. I'm excited. We were talking back and forth if we were going to record during the series against the Kings or if we were just going to let it ride. And I mean, why fix it if it's not broke, right? You know, just got through that series. Good series, fun series to watch. Gentlemen sweep, 4-1. Like to see that. Playoffs so far have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been enjoying it.
They have been.
We're going to be giving the folks at home a rundown of how they all wrapped up and kind of our thoughts there, but without burying the lead too much, what have you been liking? What have you been not liking?
Well, obviously I like the turnout from the Oilers Leafs series, or sorry, the Oilers King series. The ones that I liked the first round, but I was kind of also, I don't know, like besides like Dallas and Vegas, like I, like that was a sick series. Like that was so good. Boston Toronto was obviously that's just entertaining just for the drama behind it. I think more than anything. I think the funniest series, to be honest, was Colorado Winnipeg.
Depends what side of the coin you're on for if that was funny or not.
Yeah.
Some folks in Winnipeg are not laughing too hard, but great game one.
Yeah. And
very
that's
entertaining game one.
Yeah. And that was the thing is like they, you know, it was just like, I don't know. It was just one of those things where I do find overreactions funny, and I know this is coming from like one of the masters of overreactions, but just like some of the overreactions to some of these series and then how they eventually pan out were quite funny. But I've also been like I was telling you before we started recording, I've been watching a lot of NBA as well. My Los Angeles Clippers still continue to be one of the biggest jokes in the NBA, and they did to the Mavs in six. So life is good as per usual. Luka Doncic haunts my dreams over and over again. They're definitely going to re-sign Paul George and James Harden, and I'm just going to have to sit in perpetual mediocrity for the next like 5 years of this franchise. So they have no first round picks. They do not have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which they used to have. They have a 50% of the time Kawhi Leonard, which I love Kawhi, but holy smokes, that's depressing. And then just a bunch of like role guys that are either like they're signed to decent contracts, but they're also like expecting to be starters. And then in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't turn into wins. So things are looking awful in Clipperville, but in Oilerville, they're looking a lot better. So why don't we get to Oilerville, Miles?
Sounds like a great idea because we do have a bit of a long episode here for the folks at home today. Looking forward to breaking it all down for you, starting off with the good, the bad, and the ugly from the series against the Kings. We'll then move into a fairly comprehensive, holy Dinah, Canucks series preview and a little bit of Oilers shit. Once we get through that, we're going to be breaking down the rest of the action around the NHL, giving you a quick rundown of how the various first round series ended up and how we feel about the notable storylines from that series. Once we get all through that, very quick primer for round two. We've got a fun little breakup game in there where we're going to be doing some blind rankings. They're back. You asked for them. We got them of the remaining players in both the Eastern and Western Conference. So stay tuned for that because that's going to be dramatic. Once we get through that, draft lottery was today. So we're going to run through the results and talk about the celebration happening in San Jose or the celebration happening in San Jose and a little bit of coaching news. What do you say we get into it here? Because there's lots to do, to see.
That sounds terrific. Do you want to take the good or would you like me to take the good?
I got the good. Okay. I got the goods because there's lots of goods from this series. And I mean, what's better than a series clincher? Game 5 on May 1st is about as good as it gets with a 4-3 win to secure the hands locking, shaking, gentlemen sweep. Well, That's exactly what happened. Kane, the children's author, and Leon Draisaitl times two scored the goals for the Oilers. The skin man, he turned the shots aside that he needed to, and the Oilers moved on to the second round. Bada boom, bada bing. Didn't waste time. Despite a bit of a scary third period, they showed that killer instinct that they need to in order to wrap things up when it had to be done. So I wanted to maybe put that game in the bad because overall, not a great game from the Oilers. But like I said at the beginning, how can you be mad with a series clinching win at home? You can't. You simply can't.
Yeah, man. Just a huge win, just a really huge win. And I think we'll probably talk about this a little bit more in depth, but the maturity of this Oilers group and some of these games like have just been unbelievable. Like game five, obviously terrifying for the final like 5 minutes or so, because I don't know about you, Miles, but like they're going into the third period, the two goal lead. And the entire time I'm like, okay, 20 more minutes, 20 more minutes, 20 more minutes. And the Oilers put on a defensive clinic. It was unbelievable. This was something that we saw it a little bit in game four, in the shutout, which we will get to. But this was just a absolute masterclass in how to prevent shots on net and how to break up stuff in the neutral zone to keep everything all to the outside and make sure that your goaltender is put in ideal positions to make a save. And, obviously Oilers are going to Oiler, and, they gave us a little bit of a jump scare with about 2 minutes remaining in the game, by allowing that point shot, which snuck past Skinner and, almost tied up the Kings almost tied up the game, including a sequence with Derek Ryan without his stick, which I thought was just crazy. And then, of course, the masterful play by Leon Draisaitl to break the puck out of the defensive zone, bring it into LA's zone, make them commit an infraction, and essentially end the game on a power play. So, great stuff to see. I love game five.
Game five, lovely. That is why we put it in the good. Also in the good would be the game three. Nice game for the Oilers as they took the Kings to Pound Town in the Crypto.com arena with a 6-1 win. Skinner stopped 27 of 28 shots that he faced. And the Oilers threw 40 shots on Cam Talbot. Children's author Zachary Martin Hyman, son of Israel, he had two goals. Leon Draisaitl, he had two goals. Connor McDavid, he had a goal. And Evander Kane also scored for the Oilers. Nuge, Dry, and McDavid all had 3-point nights. Like, not much more to say here. Just long live that kind of stuff. That was a great game for them. Absolute domination in every facet of the game, especially to do that on the road after losing in overtime at home. I think everybody was a little bit scared after game two. Going to LA, going on the road, playing against a team that's got a little bit of momentum off of an overtime win, and they just shit stomp them 6-1. Absolute. Yeah. I hope this picks up. Chef's kiss of a game.
Yeah, it didn't pick up, but it's okay. that didn't pick up either. So what's funny is we've talked about this before, but the money puck deserved to win-o-meter. Apparently this game like broke their system because they gave the Oilers a 98% chance on the deserve to win-o-meter.
Bingo, bango, bongo. His name's Roberto Luongo.
Yeah, just an outrageous performance by the Oilers. And really just like, at the end of the day, like once the third period kind of came around, they were able to sort of take their foot off the gas a little bit. But that's about as dominating of a win as you can ask for. So that was cool, cool, cool stuff to see. And a really nice bounce back from Stuart Skinner as well. So we like to see that from our mustachioed king.
And keeping the trend going with the good. I mean, very fortunate that the series went the way that it did is to have three games all in the good. But I mean, game one of the series, starting things off with a Hyman Hattie, that is good stuff. Henrik, Nuge, Dry, Fogel, they all contributed with goals as well. 45 shots for the Oilers, while the Kings put 37 on net. Against Stuart Skinner. McDavid had 5 assists in this game. This was the game where there was the CC broken stick and a shot directed in off Darnell Nurse. So very well could have been a 7-2 game. Oilers also got lucky with an offside or a goaltender interference goal getting called back. I can't remember. But either way, call this one. Finished 7-4, but probably was like a 7-3 game. Regardless, A win to start the series is good, and the fact that there was room for improvement also good, as it set the Oilers up as the better team in the series from the get-go, and just really showed that they had more than enough offense to go against this LA Kings team.
Yeah, definitely. This is a team that historically has not played well in game ones, and they came out like gangbusters in this game. Once again, another completely dominating effort. And you mentioned it earlier, but really two and actually three plays, because there were two pucks that went off of Oilers defender skates, one being Darnell Nurse, and then the other one being Vinny Deharnais. Plus the CC broken stick, like this could have easily been another like 7-1 shellacking by the Edmonton Oilers. So once again, kind of gave us a little bit of a scare near there in the end. We were kind of all like, oh my God, this is so Oilers, this is not happening. But very good to see, and really made everybody in oil country happy. Fun fact with this game. My friend Colm, who I stayed with in Edmonton and I went to the games with earlier in the year, this was his first like I'm paying attention to the playoff game. So that was really, really, really special. And in addition to that, when we went to the games for the night of the BOA, he actually purchased a Zach Hyman jersey.
Hell
He was
yeah.
asking for a player to look out for and what jersey to buy. And I said, get yourself a royal blue. And he's like, which player should I pick? He's like, I don't really want to pick. Like, I don't want to pick like McDavid or Draisaitl because I feel like that's just too obvious. I'm like, well, you don't have to. You can pick Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That's a fan favorite. He's like, well, what about like, what about like like an Evan Bouchard? And I'm like, well, he's got 2 years left in his contract, and we don't know if he's going to sign his long-term extension yet because we're so fucked. I was like, you know what? Get yourself a Zach Hyman jersey. And he scored twice in the time that we went to those two games, and then obviously scored a hat trick in the very first playoff game that he really, really invested himself into. So, awesome game, awesome performance, just great, 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 great stuff.
And an awesome player. We love Zachary Martin Hyman. Can't stop raving about him. The fact that we've moved through the good means that we would be moving on to the bad now, which is not what we love talking about. But this first one is fun to talk about anyway, because we're going to start with game four, the bad game four, aka the Stuart Skinner game, aka the 58-minute penalty kill. As much as you would like to celebrate your goaltender that had some questions surrounding his playoff performances, steal a game for you, it is tough watching your team get sliced and diced on all ends of the ice. 33 saves for Stu, and a second period power play goal from Evan Bouchard
We're so fucked.
culminated in an Oilers win. Dave Redditch only faced 13 shots from the Oilers in this one. Oh yeah, the Kings switched to Dave Redditch in this one. I mean, to have your goaltender steal a game, awesome, makes you feel great. But I was on pins and needles for the entirety of this game. That was tough to watch.
I will say, I think this team did a really good job of keeping everything to the outside. There were a lot of those numbers that were being thrown around by Sportlogic, and I think it was something on the lines of like I think only like 10 of those shots were like grade A chances. So that's at least good. I can't exactly remember the numbers from it because they showed it on the broadcast, and I don't have a Sportlogic login, so I wouldn't know. But no, this was, yeah, you're right, man. Like pins and needles, but this is a game the Edmonton Oilers have not won in forever. This is like,
Forever.
this is an LA Kings style game, and so the fact that the Oilers were able to beat the Kings at their own game is quite impressive. And really, you get that one goal, and if you know it's not your night, and you just are like, okay, lock it down defensively. We are going to play the best. We are going to keep everything to the outside, and the only thing Skinner has to face are just like these perimeter shots, all these shitty ones from the outside. They let up a little bit in the back half of the third period, but they were ultimately
Because they
able to
were
pull it.
exhausted,
Yeah, they were.
they had no legs left.
They were luckily able to pull it together, though, so that was really good to see.
No, I agree 100%. And I mean, say what you want about Stuart Skinner and last year against the Kings, that was a very, very sweet redemption game for him. And
Definitely.
not trying to put the cart before the horse here, but if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you need your goalie to steal you a couple games in the playoffs. So that
Yep.
is a great one to have in the back hip. So shout out to the Skin Dog in that
And we
one, man.
were
He was awesome.
talking about this earlier in the season, like when things were not great, we just kept on saying it would be really nice if our goalie stole a couple of these games. And it'd be really nice if we did not have the second best goaltender playing in this game. And in this one, Stu was the best. And I would actually say through really this entirety of the series, minus maybe game two, he was the best goalie in the series. So, shout out Stuart Skinner. And I mean, shout out all the boys keeping everything to the outside for him. So, great stuff
Beauty.
to see. Okay,
Beauty.
Miles, the ugly.
The ugly. And again, fortunate that we're talking about a playoff series and there's only one game we're throwing in the ugly. And I could have even just put this in the bad, but we put it in the ugly because it's a three-tiered system and you got to respect the metrics. I don't make the rules, I just enforce them. Game two would classify as the ugliest game of the series, as the Oilers played catch up all night and ultimately came up short, losing the game in overtime. I'll be honest, this almost feels like a lifetime ago with how long it was in the past, but let's take a trip down memory lane here. Stuart Skinner stopped 21 of 26. Tough. Kings took a 3-1 lead in the first period, and Kulak got a goal back to make it 3-1. Holloway and Hyman got goals in the second. Children's author, by the way, in case you weren't aware, got goals in the second to make it 3-3, tied up heading into the third, where Kevin Fiala scored, and then Dylan Holloway, the rock star, Hollywood Holloway, got his second of the night to take it to overtime, where Anze Kopitar scored at 2:07 into the extra frame, and the Oilers let the Kings get back into this series, or so it seemed. Because now that we know how it went, they came out in game three and absolutely shit kicked them 6-1. But that was a pretty ugly game, pretty ugly feeling sitting on the couch, going to bed after an overtime loss, thinking, oh my God, the Oilers just Oilered again. They had that late push in game one. Now they lost it. Let the Kings play themselves back into game two. They're gonna go to LA and fucking lose. Oh my God, this is gonna be a six or a seven. Feelings of dread. But it was not meant to be. But looking back, an anxiety-inducing performance.
I mean, you said it, man. Like Dylan Holloway, this was exactly the game you needed from him. And after everybody maybe questioned Chris Knobloch's decision to keep Dylan Holloway in the lineup over someone like Connor Brown, which is crazy to think about. The kids performed, and I had a tweet earlier in the series, and you know. I think as hockey fans and as people that I don't want to say we cover the game because that would be, mean that we work covering the game, but like as people that enjoy watching this game and enjoy watching how these teams are built and enjoy watching all these players, we tend to throw around all these like stereotypes or these like buzzwords like intangibles and character and like hard worker and work ethic, but. If there's one thing you cannot question about Dylan Holloway, and you can question how far along he is in his development and what his ceiling is as a player, he may not be a, you know, 50, 60 point player. He may just end up topping out at like a, you know, 35, 40 point player. But the one thing you can never question about this guy is his determination and his dog factor. Just an absolute wrecking
Dog.
ball. Yeah, j this kid is a dog, and he's like what, 22 years old, 21 or something like that. He's still pretty young, but man, I really love what we've seen from Dylan Holloway thus far. You know, gets a little. I still think that the puck skills aren't quite there. But he gets to the net, and when he does get that shot off, it has a pretty good chance of going in. So, that was cool stuff to see.
I was super impressed with the shot selection on
Yep,
those two goals.
100%. Yeah.
Coming in over the blue line, head up, could pass, decided not to, and ripped them both high corner. Like not once but twice. Those were goal scorers' goals. And the fact that a 22-year-old is looking guys off because he knows he's got a clear shot with, I think the second one he shot through a screen, like he used the D-man perfectly. keep it up, because those are going to be massive as the playoffs go on. And knowing that we've got a guy on the lower six that can do that is very, very nice. Feels very, very good.
Yeah, totally. Before we get past the total bit of ugly from this series, Miles, I wanted to something I wanted to mention something pretty ugly because I didn't talk very much shit through this entire series. I kept it pretty even keel. But Miles, can I have permission to say one thing?
Go for it.
Let me just confirm this right here, okay? Give me 20 seconds here. Yes, of course. 7 more years, $8.5 million per. One goal, and it was off of Darnell Nurse. That is the stat line of Mr. Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yes. I was thinking as you were going through that, I'm like, who the fuck is he talking about? Oh yeah, PLD, the guy who's just getting cardio in for 5 games.
I swear to God, I feel I am not speaking in hyperbole. I swear to God, no joke, one of the worst players I've watched all this season. Like,
He
I'm not
sucked,
even
dude.
joking. He was so bad in this series. Just, and you can say what you want about the penalty called against him on Lee, or the penalty he took on Leon Draisaitl, if whether or not it was real or not. I mean, still, you don't like throw an elbow into a guy and pull him back. Like, you can't do that. You're gonna get called. And furthermore, like, I don't know, do something actually worth a damn on the ice. But the fact that right now, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, right now the LA Kings, if the season ends before his birthday on June 24th, they could buy him out for one third of his contract rather than the typical two thirds. So the Kings are like, we have no plans to buy out Pierre-Luc Dubois, but I wonder what would happen if the season ended like a week before his birthday. Because boy, that's rough. That's really, really rough.
That's rough. That's really, really rough. I don't know, man. We spoke about PLD signing in LA, or trade and sign, or whatever you want to
Yeah.
call it, previously, and very much on the record as not being fans of it. Whatever. I'm not gonna say anything more about that. The
Yeah.
fact that Rob Blake has to come out and defend a contract in the first year
Yeah.
of 8 years is fucking awful. And if I gave two shits about Kings fans, I would almost feel bad, but I don't. And
Yeah,
this series just reinforced the fact that I really don't like LA Kings fans.
and the fact too,
They weren't as gutless as they were last year.
they weren't as bad as they were last year. That is very true. And I mean, you know what's another factor into that? Like, first year into this $8.5 million deal, he changes his name from Pierre-Luc Dubois to PL Dubois. Like, ew.
I mean, he's in LA, he's eating at Erewhon, sun shining. It's a PL kind of day.
It's a
That's
PL
what he
kind of
decided.
day.
It's a PL kind of day.
He went
You know what? We
from PRs to PLs.
we can make fun of him as much as we want, but he might be the biggest swindler of all time.
Oh, 100%.
Getting free money to live in LA and just be a guy hanging out at the beach? That's the
Yeah.
dream.
Yeah, it's he's kind of like he's like the much less talented hockey version of James Harden. Like, we'll talk people into stuff, and I'm like, hey, I promise I'm not that guy. And then a year goes by. Just kidding.
I
I'm a
don't
loser.
want to stir the pot too much, but I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about another player who might be underperforming his contract in Calgary.
Oh, that guy.
One Jonathan Huberdeau, and they were saying, does it make sense to swap Pierre Dubois and Jonathan Huberdeau for the cap savings for Calgary? Absolutely fucking not, because even if Huberdeau is only scoring 60 points, at least he's
Still
not an absolute cancer to your locker room.
he may only be scoring 60 points, but that's 20 points more than Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Amen to that. Oh, dude. Whatever. Enjoy him, Kings. You got him. And if he does get bought out, one for one leaked it.
Yeah, totally. And he, we all know, is this all part of like the, if this just turns it to be the ultimate heist job of him getting traded to LA so he can get $64 million to live in LA for one season, and then it's like, my goal this entire time was to make it to Montreal, and he gets to sign there.
He goes to Montreal and turns it on, and it's just a
He becomes a hundred
fucking
point player.
menace.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That would be very cool. I
That would
would
be
like to see that.
extremely funny. Okay. Merles. Series over. Oilers got rid of the Kings in five. Good stuff to see.
Bye-bye.
Another team has darkened their doorway.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we just said that Kings fans weren't as bad as last year. Well, there's a new fan base nemesis,
Fuck
and they use
Zach
the same
Hyman! Fuck
they
Jack
use the
Campbell!
they use the same dollar as us. They're just a little further out west. Canucks fans, Oilers fans, someone's gonna die.
Yeah, here we go. The culmination of two of probably some of the most annoying fan bases in the NHL. Like, let's be real, guys. Miles, is this worse than the BOA thus far? You're pretty
Like, yeah,
online.
like, no,
Yeah.
like, what do you mean by worse than the BOA? Like, fan-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, like, round two from a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, no, it's already in line to be worse than that. Because at least when it was Calgary, Albertans have a similar sense of, like, reason. But
Yeah.
what West Coasters are just
They're
full.
elites.
Yeah, they're elites. They're full of very hoppy IPAs and anger, and
Yeah.
they just channel that into stupidity.
Yeah. Miles Fuchs, notably not a fan of the province of British Columbia.
Yeah, on record as a big BC hater.
Miles, you know what? Just to make you hate them more, did you know that they banned rodenticide?
Bro, banned what?
Rodenticide. It's what pest control professionals use to bait mice and rats.
They banned that.
Yeah, they banned rodenticide. They're trying to do it in Ontario too.
In a province with like one of the three biggest cities in Canada, you're gonna ban
Rat
rodent
poison.
poison.
Yeah.
Have fun with that one, BC. Have
Yeah.
fun with that one. See how that one works out for you. Fucking dirty, dirty city. It's a port city too. That's so stupid. Are you fucking kidding me? They're gonna start the Black Plague. They're gonna start the 2024 by, oh, we needed another fucking world to shut down because everyone has COVID. Except it's COVID 21. It started in Vancouver because rats are biting people. Stupid. Stupid.
Oh God, here we go. We already don't like BC. All right, let's get into it, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Season series against the Canucks. We're not
Can
going
I
to
stop you for
sugarcoat it.
one second?
Yes, of course.
For anyone listening, take a shot every time you hear what the season series was in this episode, because I think I have it in the notes three times. So I can't imagine.
Actually, take a shot. How many times you hear season series during the broadcast tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
You're gonna be on the fucking ground by the first intermission. Season series 0-4 and 0 to the Canucks. That's the Oilers' record. Losing by a combined score of 21-7. That's not ideal, man.
Yikes.
Yeah. However, there is a bit of a caveat. Three of these four games came within the first 45 days under of the season under Jay Woodcroft when the boys were stinky.
P.U.
In the last meeting, though, sans Connor McDavid, as he was nursing his little boo-boo, on April 13th, the Canucks won 3-1 with an empty net goal. In that game, the Oilers outshot the Canucks 33-27, and both guys went 0 for 2 on the power play. Last game, not that bad. You maybe wanted a little bit more from Leon Draisaitl, but you know what? It's an end of the season game. We talked about how we wanted some of these measuring sticks to go the Oilers' way, but whatever. But the good news was they outshot the Canucks and they played a heck of a lot better than they did the first time. So that's good to see. Do you have any thoughts on the season series or any notes from that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that I'm gonna try to be a little bit more fair here. I don't think that the first two games, I don't think you count because those were not back to back, but I think they were 2 games in 3 days to
I
start
think
the
you're right.
season. And the Oilers got throttled in the first game, and the second game, I remember making a meme of like Jack Campbell just letting everything by him. I'm not counting the first two games. The third game I will count. I know it was still during the beginning portion of the season and the Oilers were sliding and all that sort of stuff, but I really think that this series was 0-2. I'm not going to count the first two games, you know what I mean? Because I think you have to count the last game of the series as well. There was no McDavid and there was also no Demko.
Oh
So
yeah, that's
I
true
think
too.
two wrongs are going to make a right here where you have to count that one as a genuine loss. That being said, if we look at the first round as a whole and all of the weight that was put into season series didn't really matter because I think the Caps beat the Rangers or tied the Rangers in their season series and they got swept.
And
The
the
Jets
Jets, yeah, you got it.
won their season series. They got swept. Or not swept. They got gentlemen swept. The Knights won their season series against the Stars and lost the series. There's lots of examples where season series don't matter. And I think that at this point, with how different the Oilers look and the time of year that it is, fuck a season series. I don't give a shit about a season series.
Yeah, I think it is important to at least just bring up, and it's kind of
For
helps us
sure.
sort of like set the
For
stage
sure.
going into the game. So let's get into this a little bit. So some guys to watch so far in this series. I wanted to kind of bring up some guys that just typically play good against the other teams. I took a look into the Oilers, and I was hoping that I would find some player that was from like the bottom of the lineup that is like low key sick against the Vancouver Canucks. Hate to break it to you, but there's only three players that are actually have pretty decent numbers against the Canucks. The first one being Connor McDavid, who has 23 goals, 41 assists for 64 points in 40 games. Is that good? That seems pretty
That's
good.
pretty good.
Following up, we have a little guy by the name of Leon Draisaitl, who has 20 goals, 30 assists, and for 52 points in 45 games. That also checks notes. That seems pretty good.
Some pretty good numbers.
And another guy with some pretty eye-popping stats is Corey Perry. Now, there's a caveat behind that. Corey Perry did play for like 17,000 years for the Anaheim Ducks, so played a lot against the Vancouver Canucks. But he's got 22 goals, 27 point, or sorry, 27 assists for 49 points in 67 games in his career against the Vancouver Canucks. So, three guys that are really experienced and have had a decent amount of production against this Canucks squad. Now, with that being said, this does open up possibilities for guys up and down the lineup to really pop, because I think that there are a lot of chances for some of these for maybe some of these guys that didn't perform in the first round. We're looking at you, Ryan McLeod. We're looking at you, Warren Fogle. I know Warren Fogle had two goals, but they were like kind of bullshit goals.
One, yeah, one
But
was an empty net and
yeah,
one was a
exactly.
whatever.
Yeah, or sorry, I think it was one goal and one assist. I can't quite remember, but I think that this does leave open the possibility to those guys being able to do something in the playoffs. Now, moving over to the Canucks, this is a little concerning. Quinn Hughes against the Oilers has 3 goals, 19 assists for 22 points in 25 games. With that being said, he had 8 points in 4 games this year for the Canucks. So the Canucks did put up 8 on the Oilers in their very first game of the season. So let's remember that and take everything with a grain of salt, but it is still important to talk about. Brock Besser, 16 goals, 11 assists for 27 points in 31 games, 6 goals in 4 games this year.
Not to mention 4 in that 8-goal game.
Yeah.
He went
He
supernova mode.
went nuts. One of the most surprising statistics of this Canucks squad is JT Miller. JT Miller typically plays really well against the Oilers. 11 goals, 23 assists for 34 points in 32 games. That is the best marker in his career. So he historically plays really well against the Oilers, whether or not he's playing on the Canucks, whether he's playing on the Lightning or the Rangers or whoever. And then the other guy that we probably should mention, and I have bolded him, is Elias Pettersson. He has 6 goals, 13 assists for 19 points in 22 games against the Oilers, had 7 points in 4 games this season. However, most notably, had only 3 assists in the 6 games against the Preds in the first round to go along with his 3 shots on net. So, sorry, that's wrong. 8 shots on net. I meant to write that. I mean, in 6 games, you hope for more than less, or you hope for a little more than less than 2 shots a game. But I firmly believe this is going to be a player to watch out for big time, because he is going to be hungry. He's going to be looking to capitalize, especially on that Canucks power play. So it's definitely going to be something to look out for. Do you have any notes on any of the players?
Yeah, Floor by Alex, friend of the show and a notable Canucks fan, has been sending me a lot of his opinions, and like honestly, it sent me a massive amount of notes on the Canucks that I was reviewing before the show. And one of the things that stuck out to me was this section of the Canucks will win if, and one of the main points that he bolded was Pettersson remembers who the fuck he is, because he forgot who he was in that series against Nashville. I don't know if it was him getting shut down or him falling into another one of those Pettersson pitfalls where he stops performing for a number of games. But if the Canucks want to win this series, they gotta hope that he shows up. And I mean, as Oilers fans, we hope that he does not. But I want to see some good hockey. I want to see be entertained, and that starts with guys like Pettersson. If he shows up and plays well, it's gonna make it a lot harder for the Oilers to get out of this one. JT Miller, like you said, man, very good. Can be that prototypical power forward, but has that scoring touch as well. He's a guy that I'm really afraid of. I don't want to say that too loudly, but if there's a guy who I'm watching on the ice for the Canucks every single time he's out there and want to keep an eye on and make sure that he's getting matched up appropriately, it's definitely number 9.
Another like sneaky one that scares the shit out of me is Connor Garland, because of how fast he is.
Oh, for sure.
And that seems like a guy that is going to absolutely torture Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci on a regular basis.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to use that last change when you're at home to your advantage to try to. I like Eck on him. I don't mind Eck on him. I don't mind Bush on him. But yeah, that Ceci Nurse pairing, you're going to have to hope they show up for nice head of hair for Garland.
Yeah, you're going to have to pray that they get matched up against like Pius Suter or something like that. I don't fucking know.
Zadorov's a big prick too. Sam Lafferty, Alex, Floor Pie brought him up. I don't know how productive he was in their series against the Preds, but he's a little fucking Oiler killer.
Yeah,
and that's just a name I feel like you're going to hear a few times in this series at a point in the game where you're like, what? So Sam Lafferty, I think, is going to be on my shit list this series too.
Yeah, and I mean, we are kind of burying Elias Lindholm here, but Elias Lindholm, played well in the first game of the Calgary series against the Oilers 2 years ago. Let's not talk about games 2 through 5 because he did not play so well. Because, he got absolutely torched by the Oilers after that. So, going into the goaltending.
One more thing. I hope I don't get sound clipped for this, but did you see Nils Höglander's points in that Pred series?
Was it 0?
It was a juice egg. Yeah, no points.
Oh, that's no good. Well.
That's no good. So hoping that he stays dormant in this series against the Oilers. Goaltending, though.
Yes, goaltending. Speaking of a guy we don't want to stay dormant, we want him to be amazing. We want him to put up 4 straight shutouts. Stuart Skinner.
We want him to be Katy Perry. Wide awake.
And not the other song, Hot and You're Cold.
No. None of that. We want him to be our teenage dream tonight.
Yes, I would love him to be my California girl. 4-1 in the series, in the first series against the Kings. 2.59 GAA, 9.10 save percentage, and obviously 1 shutout. Against the Canucks this season, 0-3-0, with a 4.6 GAA and an .830 save percentage. Remember, there were like 8 goals put on. Stuart Skinner did. I can't remember. Did Stuart Skinner get the first game of the season, or was it Jack Campbell? It was him. Yeah.
Was it?
I can't remember. I cannot remember who started the first game.
He started the first game because the second game at home, the home opener, Campbell played, and Campbell went full soup.
Oh,
like first goal, first shot on goal was allowed. I'm pretty sure.
I'm trying to see who started right now, man.
It was two. It has to be Soup the second game, if I remember correctly. I hope I'm
Because
right.
they both played. They both played in the first game. Oh my God, this is so just heartbreaking to look at.
This is not good for one's mental
this
health.
is not good for my mental health right here. I think Stuart Skinner did start. I
Yes.
think that is accurate. I think you are correct.
Yeah.
What's funny,
And then
do you want to hear a really funny stat? Stuart
I
Skinner
do.
made 12 saves on 16 shots. Jack Campbell made 12 saves on 16 shots. They
Yes.
finished the
Okay. I
exact
remember
same stat
that.
line. Yeah.
Yes. Good stuff. Go Oilers.
But Campbell did it in 5 less minutes. So that's great. Okay. Oh.
Classless of the Canucks to keep putting that on in the first game of the year. Just shut it down, man. You guys are up. Just let
Oh
it
yeah.
be.
Oh yeah, I remember when McDavid was like, remember when I was like complaining about Connor McDavid bitching about it in the media? I was like, Connor, shut the fuck up. Just win a game already. Ooh, Evander Kane -4 in that game. Okay. Back to the goaltending.
Just had to throw that one in. Hit a
Yeah,
Kaner stat. Just
yeah.
had to put that in.
Yeah.
Fucking
Hey,
guy.
guy scored a couple goals, had an assist, had a fight. You know what? Let's keep her going. Let's keep her going good. Vancouver's goalie. And when I say goalie, there's a parentheses S in there because there's a few we got to go over. The first one to talk about is the hero of the first round for the Canucks, Artur Seelofs. 2-1 in the series with a 1.7 GAA and a .938 save percentage with one shutout. He has never played the Oilers. He is a rookie, so we have no statistics to go against the Oilers. So he obviously played really well against the Preds. The Edmonton Oilers are a completely different animal, so we will see how that pans out. But most notably, I actually heard this in another podcast the other day, but I guess he was the goalie for Latvia at the World Championships last year and like stonewalled the friggin' US. So I don't like to hear that.
No, that sucks.
So let's keep that at home and let's like why don't you play like Brodeur in the 2010 Olympics when he had to get benched for Roberto Luongo. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Is Merz Lincoln's Latvian too?
I believe he is, yeah. I believe.
So I hope that he has a similar trajectory to Merz Lincoln's as countryman, where he starts off really, really good and then just kind of drops her down
Explodes.
again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But waiting in the wings is a guy that was a certified Oiler killer this season in Casey DeSmith. 1-1 in the series against the Preds with a 2.02 GAA and a .911 save percentage. Against the Oilers this season, 2-0-0 with a 1.82 GAA and a .949 save percentage. So, guy absolutely crushed it for the Canucks against the Oilers this season. I think he
Did
was
you
the one
see?
that got the start in the last game.
Yes. Did you see the Casey DeSmith like sucks news? Like
The
that he's a bad
Casey.
guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
From a few years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
From college, yeah. If you're not
Yeah.
familiar with Casey DeSmith college, he sucks.
Yeah, so let's if we do end up getting Casey DeSmith in one of these games, let's make sure we give him a nice Bronx cheer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
And then we have to bring this up because there's a possibility he could come back, and I really hope not. Well, sorry, that sounds bad. I hope not in the way that I don't want the Oilers to face him, but
You
obviously
hope
we
not because it comes from a place of respect.
yes, exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly what I
Yeah.
mean. Yeah, you get what I mean. But if he comes back for game four, obviously Thatcher Demko, 1-0 in the series against the Preds, 2.00 GAA and a .917 save percentage. He was really good in that one game, obviously got injured and has been out ever since. And against the Oilers this season, 2-0 with a 1.67 GAA and a .954 save percentage. He was amazing for the Canucks this season, really this entire season. But if he does come back, then that's going to be someone we have to look out for. It was reported earlier today that he's going to be out until at least game four. So he would be eligible to come back for game five, but it still is not totally, not totally a certainty that he does come back for game five. So ideally, Edmonton Oilers, can we please get this done quick? That would be really nice if they can.
Make the games with him out count.
Yes, you nailed it, Merles. So some statistics through the playoffs thus far. In five games against the Kings, the Oilers have a 100% penalty kill. They have not allowed a power play goal thus far. A 45% power play, which is just outrageous. That is obviously first in both categories in the NHL. These numbers are a little concerning, but I do think you have to take them with a grain of salt, because remember, when the Oilers' power play was humming, they were putting the team up by like multiple goals. And at 5-on-5, they just basically had to play prevent hockey against the LA Kings. So we kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt and not get too worried, okay? They were 12th out of 16 teams in shots for percentage, 5th in goals for percentage, and 5th in expected goals for... Sorry. Shit, I read that wrong. 12th in shots for percentage, 8th in goals for percentage, and 10th in expected goals for percentage. So, ideally not what you want to see. A lot of stuff in the back half of the league, or just kind of in the middle. But the good news is that they won in five games, and they took care of a pretty good LA team quite handedly. So, I like
an LA, an LA team that plays trap defense.
Yep, exactly.
So they're not giving up the opportunity that... a number of other teams would. Take it with a grain of salt. I don't think that you can put as much into the fantasies there. That's not me just trying to pigeonhole that the Oilers didn't look or didn't put up fantastic numbers there. Playoffs are not the regular season, and it's more of a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, nailed it. As for Vancouver, in their six games against the Preds, finished off with a 90.9% penalty kill, a 15.4% power play. That's concerning to me, because that smells like a team that is going to want to absolutely crack the whip on the Edmonton Oilers in the second round matchup. So a little concerned about that, but Oilers PK looked good in the last series, so let's just hope that this kind of continues. And at 5-on-5 for the Vancouver Canucks, 13th in shots for percentage, but 5th in goals for percentage and 5th in expected goals for percentage. We'll get into that series and what that series was like, but the Preds also not a very good team. So, but just a couple of teams is playing really sound defensively. So, it's going to make up for a really interesting series. That's for damn sure. Now, I did have Miles and I pick who our Oilers MVP of the series are and who our breakout player will be of the series. I guess I'll go first with my MVP of the series. I'm just picking Connor McDavid. I think this is a guy that was not happy with how the season started. He obviously never got to play in the last matchup. He's going to be hungry, ready for more. And boy, watching some of these pre and post game interviews and all these and all these little scrums after practice and stuff, like, he's got that look in his eye. He's got that fire right now, and it seems like a pretty chalk answer at this point. But I think we're going to be in for a big Connor McDavid series.
Yeah, he looks like he's locked in. Lauren posted a photo of the two of them watching a movie last night in their matching aloe shoes. I don't know if I like that or not. I like that he's having fun. I like that the Oilers had like a week off in between their series ending and the series starting, so that they can chill and get a little bit of R&R in before a big series takes place. That being said, I would have liked, you know, if he had that Mamba mentality, he's watching film in the private movie theater, not watching a fucking movie. But no, I agree with you. It looks like McDavid is locked the heck in and is going to be a fucking demon. I'm loving everything about it.
Can I zag on that take? I think it's actually hard as fuck that it's like two nights before a playoff game, and he's like, I'm going to go see a movie.
I'm going to go watch a movie with my girl in our matching aloe shoes.
Yeah, although I will have to say, Lauren, you are breaking a massive pet peeve of mine and also a major friend of the show, taking a picture in the middle of a movie. What the fuck is wrong with you? Put your phone away. God.
You know they have a theater in their house, right? Did they go to Fall Guy? Is that what you're
that
saying?
That is at a Cineplex.
That is at a Cineplex. I can tell by the carpet on the floor.
No, it's by the cup that has a giant Cineplex logo on it.
I can tell by the cum stains in the carpet.
God, what a movie chain.
What a movie chain. So McDavid's your pick for MVP. My MVP of the series, if the Oilers are going to win this, has got to be Stuart Skinner. I think it's going to come down
Such a
to our
goalie answer.
goaltending. It's going to come down to goaltending, man. Especially with, they've got Sylvos and they've got DeSmith and they've got Demko. They've got three options of goalies that can play for them and play well for them. They've got a young guy stealing games. They've got a stud trying to get healthy, and they got somebody more than capable with Casey DeSmith. Talked about how the season started and how McDavid complained and this, that, and the other thing. How'd the season start for Stuart Skinner? Not very freaking good.
Not great,
So,
Bob.
not great, Bob. So, if the Oilers are going to win this series, there's nobody that's got to be hungrier than Stuart Skinner. He's going to have to hold off those Garlands, those Millers, those Pettersons, those Hughes, those Bessers. He's got a lot of weapons up front on this Canucks team that he's going to have to shut down. And on the back end, too. Hornick, right? He's got a wicked
Hronik.
shot. Hronik. Stuart Skinner's going to have to be the difference maker if the Oilers are going to make this a quick and clean one.
Philip Hronek, by the way, I believe has 0 points through the first few games of this. I know that when
Yeah,
they had played five
but
games, he,
he's a rip from the point. Like,
yeah, and he could easily like come back into form. He had 0 points in six games. Not what you like to see, but really, he could have a nice little bounce back in the series. But I hope he does not. Moving on from there, Miles, I want to take it. I'm going to talk about my breakout player of the series because there's a few guys that could have a little bit more of an impact in this series, and I want to take in a little bit of a time machine going back to last season's playoffs against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. In what would be a fatal flaw for Jay Woodcroft, Ryan McLeod started off the series against Jack Eichel and actually shut Jack Eichel down, like. Gave that line all kinds of fits. Once Bruce Cassidy realized that using his last change, he was able to get Eichel off of Ryan McLeod and was able to match him up against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. It was kind of a wrap from there. But one of the things that fans always look back on is just how good Ryan McLeod was against that Jack Eichel line. I think this is going to be the series where McLeod takes his great defensive game, like close to elite defensive game, and combines it with a still growing offensive regiment that he, or sorry, offensive tools that he does have in his arsenal. I think this is going to be the series where that third line comes together. You've got a guy on the right in Corey Perry, who knows how to get to those dirty areas, who has played in these playoff games before. And then you've got Dylan Holloway on his left. I think this is going to be a really, really, really big series for Ryan McLeod. And I think he's going to put up the points.
I remember vividly how those first few games against the Vegas Golden Knights went, and the numbers that went along with how McLeod had them shut down. So very good callback. I love that a lot, and I hope that you are right because I'm a big McLeod lover. Yeah, dude, I think that you're bang on there. Clouder could certainly have a series here, and I sure hope he does. I am going with a hometown boy, a Burnaby-born kid. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as
Hell
my
yeah.
breakout player of the series. I think the first round, if I had to call a breakout player, not really a breakout guy, but if I had to call a breakout player, I would say Hyman. And I think that we can see a little bit more here from Nuge. I think he's got a lot. Like last year, he had 100 points. This year, he didn't play up to that same level that he has for himself. Obviously, a large portion of that came from power play production, but it's a guy who's got to be revved up. He's coming into his fourth playoffs with the Oilers in his entire career playing with this team, fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I think it might even be the sixth.
That many, hey?
Yeah, because they've made the playoffs every year now for the past like what 4 years, something like that. Because
Yeah, I guess
even like the
I'm not really counting the COVID year though, I guess, in my whatever.
one,
Either way,
two, yeah.
this is a dude who's gonna be hungry, and I think that he's gonna come in and this is gonna be the series to watch for Nuge.
Hell yeah, I love that call, and man. There's nothing, and playing in his home province, like I would love to see this guy absolutely crush it. Fun fact, Nuge played, I think he had his first hat trick against the Canucks, and that was like in I think that was like the first month of his rookie season. So it would be a really nice sort of full circle moment for Mr. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Miles, I didn't write this in the notes. Do you have a final prediction on how you think the series is going to go?
I know that we broke our voodoo streak because we weren't doing predictions and we did predictions for the first round. So I'm nervous if we should do a prediction or not for the second round. But in the interest of professionalism, I am going to say Oilers in six.
I agree. I think it will be Oilers in six. I think that fans that are getting way ahead of themselves and thinking that this is going to be easy for the Oilers are completely out to lunch. This is going to be a very, very, very difficult task. I think this is going to be ultimately, this will be Chris Knobloch's defining moment as head coach of the Oilers thus far in his tenure. How he line matches against Rick Tocchet, against say what you want about Rick Tocchet, but like that's a guy that's been a coach for a really long time. He knows what he's doing. And
He coaches a great defensive team, and instills that into them. How quickly he's turned them around as well.
yeah.
Testament to what Rick Tocchet can do as a coach. So yeah, big props to him. A lot of respect to Rick Tocchet.
Yeah. So and I was mentioning this earlier, but like the speed coming from the Canucks, that is terrifying to me. So this is going to be a you know just a minor little bright spot, or sorry, not a bright spot, but more of like a minor spotlight for this team is going to be that second pairing of Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. They are going to have to be on their A game, and they are going to have to basically play essentially mistake-free hockey over the next little while. So really, I'm excited. Also very nervous, but if the Oilers play their game that they're capable of, they can win this. They can do it. So let's see how it goes. Miles, shall we get into the NHL?
We shall, because we've been talking about it a lot throughout the show here, but let's look at how the rest of the first round worked out. Rangers first in the Metro versus Washington, wild card two. I think we both had this one going Rangers, and that is how it went. Rangers in four games. I believe you nailed the number. I think I put Rangers in five. You did Rangers in four. Congratulations. Only one game was won by a margin less than two goals. That was game two. The total score of the series was 15-7 in favor of the Rangers. Series never felt particularly close. Leading the way for the Rangers in scoring was Mika Zibanejad with 7 points in four games, followed by Vinny Trocheck with 6 points. Nolan put that the notable storyline of this series was the fall of Alexander Ovechkin, who failed to record a point in a playoff series for the first time in his career. This is also very funny because when we did our preview of this series, I was like, oh, it'll be 4-1 because I think Ovi's going to have one of those games where he just Ovi's out and he's just going to win one. So very funny that he did not do that and in fact went the other way, not getting a point. Alexander Ovechkin, he is 42 goals away from breaking Gretzky's goal record and will turn 39 in September. Do you think he can still do it?
I thought John Buccigross of ESPN had a really good tweet about this. Ovi's got to like get healthy. And when I say get healthy, I don't mean injury. I mean like he's got to hit the
Talk.
fucking gym and he's got to
Oh, yeah.
like get his ass in shape. If Alex Ovechkin can go on a bit of a diet, really take his workout regime very seriously, and he can maybe drop like 15 pounds. This he could crush Gretzky's numbers. He could. Like he still has the talent. It's just he's gotta get back into like playing shape.
Yeah, take it serious again. I
Yeah,
don't think he's taking it
exactly.
serious. I think he's fucking around.
Yeah, like he a person I always look at, and granted he was quite a bit younger than Alex Ovechkin was at this time, but like Chris Paul was at the end of his career in the NBA basically when he got traded to OKC. He went to OKC, he basically went vegan and like took care of his body, and he extended his career and had like two more MVP style seasons with the Phoenix Suns and brought them to an NBA final. So I would really like to see this guy get his ass in gear and really take this seriously, because who knows, maybe the Capitals could go on another little miraculous playoff run here for next year. But 42 goals is not that far away. I still think he's going to do it, but I think he's got to get his ass in gear.
Dude, you're saying 42 goals. Like, I know it's Ovi and that's nothing for him, but at the pay, don't forget that until like
That's
the
true.
All-Star game, he
Yep.
had like 9 goals for the
Yep.
first half of the year. 42 is a lot of goals to score at the age of 39. Like you said, he's certainly gonna have to take things a little bit more seriously because, I mean, if you're not taking care of your body, back injuries, knee injuries, like one bad move for the guy. I'm not wishing an injury on him, but he's got to smarten up if he wants to do this. So, I agree. I still think he does it. He's a gamer. He'll get it figured out. He's one of the best goal scorers, if not the best goal scorer in NHL history for a reason. And there's, you know, maybe give him a little bit of Russian gas. He'll be good to go.
I'm sorry, the fact that he was like 38 and he still scored like 30 goals is crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. He's
And
fun.
being,
He's so good. Like,
yeah,
drinking
he,
Coke on the bench, and he's still so good.
yeah, 100%. Okay, Miles, the second game. Do you want me to take this one or do you want to take it?
You got her.
Okay. The first in the Atlantic Division, Florida Panthers defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were the first wild card in 5 games. But really, despite a massive Game 4 victory that gave Bolts fans hope to even this thing out, the Panthers finally put their big brothers of Florida to rest in a series that saw the Panthers outscore the Lightning 20-14, including a huge series clinching 6-1 victory Game 5. Top line of the of Florida went absolutely sicko mode. Now I know that they got put together near the end of the series. That saw two members of the line, Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk, who are tied for third in points with 9 apiece. They were playing with Alex Barkov. They went absolutely nuts. But the big story of this series, besides John Cooper nearly being outed as a sexist, is, by the way, I know John Cooper apologized for his comment, but whatever, it was kind of funny. The whole situation is funny, I should say. Is the Panthers' offensive surge proving that the regular season was, in fact, not an aberration? Miles, do you think these guys are the real deal? And bonus question, does Steven Stamkos re-sign in Tampa?
I don't think that there's any question that Florida is the real deal. If you would have asked me that 2 days ago, because they got shit pumped by the Bruins. We're bearing the lead again here, but if you don't know how the Bruins Leafs series ended, that's on you. Yeah, they got shit kicked by the Bruins last night, but I think that's an outlier. This Panthers team is really good. Paul Maurice is a really good coach. I don't think it's anything but a blip on the radar, a second period that got away from them. Yes, I think that the Panthers are for real. I don't think Stamkos re-signs in Tampa Bay. I don't
Wow.
think that they're going to give him the money that he deserves or the money that he wants. And I think he's going to get it elsewhere, either Philly or I don't know if Detroit's going to have the money to do it, but that Yzerman reunion just seems so storybook ending. I think Stammer's going to walk off. I think he's going to go somewhere else.
I agree that the Panthers are the real deal. However, I do not agree with the Steven. I still think Stamkos is coming back. I think he's coming back. I think Hedman gets re-signed to a nice cheap deal in this offseason, and then I think that they tinker, and something tells me this team will be back with a fucking vengeance next season.
Oh, dude, for the record, I hope you're right. Like, Steven Stamkos is Mr. Lightning.
Yeah.
Two leg injuries, 2 Stanley Cups. He's a warrior, and he absolutely deserves to retire in Tampa and be captain forever and never have a picture of him in another jersey. So, for the record, I hope I'm wrong. I just think that somebody's going to throw a bag at him. And not that he's a greedy guy, but I mean, when you're staring a huge contract in the face, getting a new opportunity somewhere else, who knows? But we'll see what happens. But I do agree. I think your take is really good that they're going to retinker and be crazy because I'm a huge Hagel guy. I'm a huge point guy. I really like Sergachev as well. I could see them, yeah, being a contender again here with a couple of good moves. I think you're bang on.
What about Nolan's guy to watch in the series, Tanner Janot? That guy's really good, right?
Fucking Tanner Janot, man. Yeah, that was another good one on your behalf.
Fucking
What the fuck,
L.
eh? Son of a biscuit.
It's just like, I don't, I, He got scratched in the last game. He got scratched in the last game of the series. Like,
Yeah,
oh
dude.
my God. Yeah, real tough beat for Tanner Janot.
And looking back on the series, I believe we did both pick Florida, and I think we did both pick them in five. So
I think I picked
pretty
him in
close there.
six.
Either way, win's a
Yeah.
win. Shouts out.
Yep.
This one here, boy. Carolina. Metro Division 2 playing against the New York Islanders, the Metro Division 3. Carolina disposed of them in five games. Two of those games, I believe, went to overtime. In what was a weirdly close effort by the Islanders, it felt pretty quickly that they were overmatched. With a series score of 19-12 in favor of the Hurricanes, was not helped by the fact that only two games were won by one goal, and one of those was the Isles' only win in double OT. The Hurricanes' leading scorer was none other than my guy to watch, Seth Jarvis, who had 7 points in five games. He looked awesome playing on that second line with Jordan Staal and Tuukka Teravainen. He's actually seen a bump up in ice time from his 18:45 in the regular season to 20 minutes and 16 seconds in the playoffs. Is this the official arrival of Seth Jarvis? Again, I've been beating that Seth Jarvis drum for a while. I think he arrived a while ago, but I think everybody's on notice now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, dude, Carolina's been so sick. Like they're so good. And yeah, Seth Jarvis, I think he was one pick away from it. He was one fucking
He
pick
was.
away.
He was. Yeah. Good old dub boy too. Yeah, Seth Jarvis is
Please, Dill, please, Dill, please be good.
storyline of this series has to be the juggle fuckery of the Isles goaltending duo, thinking they're the Boston Bruins, splitting the crease between Varlamov and Sorokin. Final stats for both goalies: a 1-3-0 record, a 9-14 save percentage in four games to Varlamov, and a one loss in one start with a 0.786 save percentage for Ilya Sorokin. Sorokin's 8-year, $66 million contract starts next season. Nolan wrote, oops. I still think Sorokin's really good. I don't,
I think he's really good too.
yeah. But it looks tough. I mean,
It does look
when your
tough.
$66 million goaltender has a sub 8 save percentage, it's like, fuck, you
And
probably
also
don't
was
feel
not
terrific
very good
about
in the
that.
regular season as well. Like
Yeah,
that's
the
just a
run
real
into the
tough one.
season, that is a real tough one.
I will say, I wonder if I don't know if he has any protection on his contract. But I wonder if Lou is like insane enough to possibly trade that contract before it begins. Oh no, he has a no move. He's not going anywhere.
Okay.
That man is not going anywhere. Oh, sorry, it's 82.5 million. Okay, or sorry, 8.2 million.
This
Okay,
is such a Patrick Waugh ending to the
it's
series.
so stupid.
Like, it's so frustrating. I know we both on the record took the Hurricanes in this series, but I did say I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders won in seven because they're hot at the right time. And I apologize for that because that was stupid.
I think I said in five games for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there was a couple games there where the Hurricanes were leading late in the third and then blew it. There was definitely an opportunity where the Islanders were gonna, sorry, the Islanders were leading late in the third and then blew it. There's definitely an opportunity for this to be more of a competitive series. But that being said, I mean, the Islanders had like, remember watching games, it's late in the third period and they have 15 shots on goal. Like they just completely outclassed. They might have had it close at times, but they were never really skating with the Hurricanes in this one. So shout out to the Canes.
Is there a more mid team than the New York Islanders?
Oh, we might be talking about him right now.
Yeah, because we're about to talk about the second in the Central Colorado Avalanche defeating the third in the
No.
Central Winnipeg Jets
Was it
in.
the other way around? Weren't the Jets second?
No, I don't think so. I think the Jet. I
The
think the.
Jets, they started the series in
Oh
Winnipeg, though,
fuck,
did they
you're
not?
right too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God, I completely forgot. Yes, you're right because okay. So obviously Avs beat the Jets in five games. So the very first point I put in was a link to a tweet everybody's seen it on Twitter, which is the video of Jesse Pollock from Bar Down. He basically he went on a video or he recorded himself being like abs in four pipe it, and he like basically, even though nobody said that the abs were going to sweep the Jets, literally I never saw anybody say that. That's like the most straw man argument I've ever seen in my fucking life. Anyways, so the Jets win this first game 7-6, and the conversation
off the back
off the back of
a Gorgiev fucking implosion. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, but this game happens. Jesse Pollock puts this video out and is like, oh my God, Jets all in. These guys are fucking coming for the cup, ignoring the fact that Connor Hellebuck pooped his pants for the first game of the series. That's Vezina winner, by the way. Future Vezina winner, Connor Hellebuck. For this season, he will win the Vezina. Pooped his pants in the very first game of the season. And the Avalanche were like, noted, and proceeded to drop, Miles, get ready for this, 22 goals on the Jets to their measly 8.
Holy shit.
They fucking crushed them in the 4 games afterwards.
Oh, yeah, dude. They buried them in 12 feet of snow.
The Avs' 3 big guns, Natron, Makar, and Rantanen, are tied for third with the previously mentioned guys in Florida with 9 points in the series, and not far behind them is playoff DAWG Arturi Lehkonen with 8 points in those 5 games. This was an absolute clinic put on by the fucking Colorado Avalanche. The Jets, the storyline of the series, though, the Jets are the Jets. Connor Hellebuck did not have a good series. He went 1-4-0 with a 5.23 GAA and an .870 save percentage after, like I said, a Vezina season. Miles, I think it's officially time to say mid is their tagline. But on a side note, it should be mentioned how nicely the Avs' second line is coming together with Parise, Mittelstadt, and Lehkonen combining for 16 points in 5 games. The Avs are looking scary, and it looks like they've kind of started to click together. And yeah, everybody should be terrified.
Oh, dude, if you're not scared, now is the time. You're officially on notice. I just want to bring it up because going back to our preview episode, I remember you said that your player, breakout player for the Avs was Mittelstadt, and I think he played pretty well.
He did.
I'm just looking at my guy, Mark Scheifele. He had 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. But I was not so much talking about his offense. I was talking about his defense and his all-around game and how he's going to be able to play against the Natron Rantanen matchup. Mm-hmm. He was -6 in the series. And I think Natron, Makar, and Rantanen putting up 9 tells you all you need to know. He was outclassed. I did pick Winnipeg to win this series, and I feel foolish doing that. You should never bet against the Avs. But as much as you should not bet against the Avs, you should not believe in the Jets. I made the mistake of believing in them and thinking that they were for real and that they turned a corner. And unfortunately, they were not.
Tyler Toffoli, where are you?
Sean Monahan,
where are you?
Yeah, sucks to see. Sucks to see.
Does it? I don't really think it sucks to see.
It sucks to see because the whiteout was electric. Mm-hmm. Like not the Oilers. Winnipeg has probably, I would say, a top five atmosphere in the NHL when they're good. Like when they're winning, that
rink the Edmonton Oilers is number one, right?
Absolutely, of course, yeah, of course. It has to be.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking factory in there, dude, when they're winning, and nothing reminds us of that quite like a playoff whiteout. That first game, 7-6 game, when all those goals were going in, that crowd was nuts. That was so loud on the broadcast. And I do feel bad for Jets fans because they struggled in mediocrity for a number of years. This year finally looks like they turn a corner. I mean, they're second in the division. Hellebuck's gonna win the Vezina, yada yada yada. They've got some big pieces that came in the deadline, and then like you said, they pooped their pants in the series. That sucks for the fans. That really does suck for the fans. In the words of one of the most famous sports sound bites of all times, the Jets are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
It's true. By the way, I just want to mention, I know I did write that mid is their tagline, but I actually do think that the New York Islanders are more mid than the Winnipeg Jets are. Mm-hmm. The Jets at least like have a lot of high-end talent on their team. Man, it is depressing watching the New York Islanders play hockey. It's like Matt Barzal, Noah Dobson, Sorokin some kinda nights, and that's about it. Like, yeah. I mean, Adam Pellick's pretty good, but like, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to need Lou to skate away into the sunset in order for things to get fixed there.
Miles, is this your favorite series to talk about?
This one here?
Yeah.
No, because the Oilers are my favorite series to talk about.
That's
but this
what
would
I'd
be,
like to hear.
This would be my favorite non-Oilers series to talk about, because what
I've
tastes
got some thoughts.
Sweeter than the tears of Leafs fans that we don't like? Because the Leafs fans that we like, we feel bad for. But the Leafs fans that we don't like, so, so sweet. The second Atlantic team, the Boston Bruins, defeated the third place Atlantic team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, in 7 games. Babe, wake up. New Leafs hell scenario just dropped. After going down 3-1 in the series, the Leafs battled back to win games 5 and 6 without Detective 6-9 Austin Matthews in the lineup, only to have him return for game 7. Then they had their emerging number one goaltender, Joseph Woll, go down right before game 7. This isn't even mentioning William Nylander missing games 1, 2, and 3, but all of that ended up being for naught as they lost in overtime in game 7. Jeremy Swayman finally takes over the reins for the Bruins crease, playing in 6 out of 7 games for the Bruins with a .950 save percentage and a .149 goals against average. For those of you at home, those numbers are disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, Mitchell Marner, the guy who likes to gritty all the time, he had 3 points in 7 games. His 7-game overtime getting scored on body language, I don't know if you saw the clip, looked exactly alike or insanely similar to Johnny Gaudreau's body language in the elimination game versus the Oilers. The Leafs' big guns couldn't take the series over, and that's ultimately why I think they lost this one. Marshy led the Bruins with 8 points. Pasta had 5, including the series winner. And DeBrusque, man, he was a superstar in game 1. 2 goals and 1 assist to get things going for the Bruins. Storyline of this series, the Leafs didn't show up. What happens next? And can Boston hang with the Panthers? Your thoughts?
Boy, this was a big one. Okay, so first and foremost, you did mention it. You said that we feel bad for the Leafs fans that we like in our lives.
We do.
Obviously,
I do.
Like I feel really bad for like obviously like Steve Dangle, because like that sucks. Like, you know, you really care about these like passionate fans that just are constantly disappointed by their team, especially in the first round of the playoffs. Fun fact, Miles, I actually DM'd Curtis from Alberta today. And I basically was just like, because he's just dealt with a lot of shit lately. I don't know if people saw like that clip that went around, but there was like that Blackhawks podcast.
Pricks from Chicago.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Fucking like the thing I like about Curtis is that he's a loud Leaf fan, but he's proud of it. Like, he's genuinely proud of it, and it's clearly something that gives him so much happiness. And I think that's missing from a lot of fandom nowadays, is we become so cynical with how we treat our hockey teams that we love so much. And Curtis just fucking loves it, and he's positive, and his vibes are just immaculate. Like, that rocks. And so I just wanted to I shot him a DM, and you know, we shared a couple messages, but like, you know, it was just, yeah, it's just it sucks. I feel really bad for those fans. With that being said, I think it's starting to kind of come to fruition just how much of a lack of, I already mentioned this word twice, but we're gonna go for a third time, how lack of like a dog this team has. I think William Nylander is really close to a dog. I think he's sick. Like, I think he's really good. He only played in 4 games and he had 3 goals. Like, he did his part. Austin Matthews is is a top 5 player in the world. He's amazing. I think,
but he was not a dog when
he was
he
was
to be.
he I think in what was it, game two, he was really good, where he scored the game winner. Like that was kind of his moment, but you want more of those moments. But man, and obviously he's getting a lot of shit right now, but like Mitch Marner, man, I don't get it. I don't get, like, just
Where are you?
such a lack of like self-awareness too. I'm assuming you saw that clip that went around of like him at locker cleanout day, and they basically he
We're gods in Toronto. I'm a
yeah
god in Toronto.
and
Have some
like
fucking self-awareness, you
he
loser.
and like I get where he's coming from, I get his point, like I get where the statement is coming from, but it's also like just put your fucking foot in your mouth. Like how dumb can you be? And then Miles, I don't know if you saw this because I literally saw it while I was just making dinner tonight before I came down to record. But there's a podcast called The Leaf Report, no free ads, and it's run by James Myrtle and Jonas Siegel, who write for The Athletic. And James Myrtle dropped like a little tidbit about how apparently Mitch Marner's camp like basically strong arms the media, and basically is like, you better like write nice about my kid and shit, and like they don't want any access to Mitch Marner, and it's like he's the only player on the Leafs that's like that, which is fucking crazy. Like,
Man, I know we're shitting on Mitch Marner right now, and this is the shit on Mitch Marner parade. But like, yeah, you don't want to read too much into the stories that people tell. But if his dad is as crazy as people say he is, you feel bad for the guy because he obviously has a tremendous amount of skill. Like Mitch Marner is talented until the cows come home. He's a good hockey player. But if you've had, your dad breathing down your throat the entirety of your young life as a hockey player, and then still having his thumb on you in one of the biggest markets in sports, I feel like your love for the game would probably be dwindling. So maybe Mitch leaving Toronto could be a good thing. Smaller market, let him focus on himself, let him get in control of his own game. I don't know. It's just, if it is the way that people describe it, it's sad that his dad is like that, that his camp is like that.
yeah, I guess my only issue with that is like, it was pretty well documented. Like literally after Austin Matthews signed his first extension, like his agent immediately went to the press and talked about how Mitch Marner is not taking a discount. And I understand that he's got people around him that probably control a lot of his career. But at the end of the day, the person that has the most say in the situation is Mitch Marner. So I do have a tough time. Like I definitely give him sympathy because like nobody deserves to get the shit that they're being thrown at, especially in a time like this where everyone's just emotional right now. And you said it right. Like I firmly believe that he's gonna get traded this offseason, and I hope so for his sake and for Leaf fan's sake. And I think he's gonna succeed wherever he goes. I think that this management group this entire time, unfortunately, has given these guys free rein and has made them the leaders without developing like a culture. And like, I know this is rich coming from two Oiler fans that have not seen, once again, also have not seen a Stanley Cup enter through their doorway, but like, say what you want about what the team has done, McDavid and Draisaitl are fucking dogs. Like those are guys that show up and have built a culture within the Oilers dressing room. So, we'll see what
I'll say
happens.
that I'll track you there. I'll say that's rich. I will say that's rich because
I think they
they've
have built a
won.
culture, man. Like
What
they've,
what's the culture of losing in the conference final? Like regular,
but
like I don't think that we're there
where it
yet.
was, like I think that these guys actually have some accountability. Like they're not coming out and they're not making bullshit statements like Mitch Marner is. They're not like fucking John Tavares being like, oh yeah, we're almost there. Like dog,
No,
you just
that's fair. That's
like,
fair.
that's my point, is like, is say like at least these guys are self-aware, and I do believe that they've built a culture. I think that there are guys that come into that locker room and are like, hey, this is pretty good. I completely agree. Conference finals is not good enough and you got to win a Stanley Cup, But where this team was, like, and you know how much I give shit to Ken Holland, but like pre-Ken Holland, like think about how bad it was, or those years of the Decade of Darkness. Like, I think mm-hmm. that this team is fucking far and away better than what they were. But
no, I'll give you that. I just, we got to be careful when we talk about
totally win, no, and I
culture and stuff like I that. See, they gotta I see do that.
Yeah,
more.
No, and I'm not, and I'm not saying that the Oilers know a ton about winning culture, but I'm just saying like at least these guys have like a self awareness, and it's like kind of like Nathan MacKinnon too, with when you know MacKinnon came out and said like I've been in this league for 9 years and I haven't won shit. Like, I think it's such loser behavior by a lot of this management group to be like, oh, well, like we're almost there. You know, you're not almost there. So yeah.
It's lack of self-awareness for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that starts with Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon Keefe has to be fired into the fucking sun.
Him and Brendan Shanahan need to fucking go.
I was going to say, I think that a lot of Keefe's problems is just like looking up to Daddy Shanahan and being like,
what do I say, Dad? What do you want me to do for the pregame speech here, Dad? Do you want me to tell them to have a lot of fun tonight? Because I'll do that.
Got a kick out of that. It's like Craig Berube talking to the Blues, and he's mm-hmm. like, let's go out there and win a fucking cup tonight. And then it's Sheldon Keefe talking to the Leafs, and he's like, you know, let's all just go out there and have fun. And you're like, what am I listening to? Did you hear the rumors that Berube is going to be the Leafs coach?
So it's been a little kind of all around the place. I think New Jersey is sniffing around trying to get Berube before the Leafs have the opportunity, because like, say what you want about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they're going to be the number one like destination for any head coach.
Hell yeah.
Like that is the job. It's like, you know, fucking coaching the Lakers or the Knicks or whatever.
Too much basketball analogies today.
Sorry. Okay, fine. Like coaching the Cowboys. Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like it's, you know, it's going to be a really big job. Can I just make one little side thing that I would also do in addition to firing Keefe and also Brendan Shanahan? I would strip John Tavares of the captaincy.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Yeah, as quick as he can.
Yeah, you got to get, he can't be the captain of that team. If Austin Matthews wouldn't have gotten drunk and shown his ass to the security guard, Tavares probably never would have been captain of that team anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
Hot take.
No, it's not a hot take. I think you're completely correct. I think that is exactly what would have happened. But yeah,
no, it's like a perfect storm of losering in Toronto, where the Shanahan Keefe lack of accountability from management, and then the lack of like in the room accountability first. So it seems like Tavares not really running that team and not really controlling the young guys. Like that bench skirmish where you could very clearly read William Nylander's lips, where he's like, stop fucking whining, this isn't junior. Do you think and John Tavares is just staring straight ahead, not saying anything? Like any captain worth their weight is gonna step in there and be like, hey, we're down another game, let's get going a little bit, let's kick ourselves in the ass and stop fighting. But didn't do that, and that was my nail in the coffin for him personally.
I don't totally worry about that, because the Evander Kane and Corey Perry just did that pretty recently on the Oilers bench. So like it happens, and I think that a lot of those guys do love each other. But I mean, it's just my big thing with that whole thing is like how the team responded. Like Mitch Marner played like fucking shit in that game 4. I could not believe what I saw in a moment where your best player is not playing in the game and you need to try and like even the series out. And what do? You just lay down a big wet fart in front of everybody. So it's, I mean, we've talked about the Leafs a lot, and ultimately everybody talks about them because they're just filled with drama, and the drama is fun to talk about. But
we should talk about the winner. We should talk about the team that's moving on and still has hockey to play.
Boston, man, dogs.
Dogs find a way to. Jeremy Swayman is a Rottweiler.
Conn Smythe at this point, like probably.
He's a first round Conn Smythe winner in my opinion, and it usually is a goalie in the first round that wins the Conn Smythe, right? Like, I think back to Ottinger in that series against the Flames, where everyone was like, "My God, this guy's stealing it." Very similar to what Swayman did in that series against the Leafs. He played awesome, and like we mentioned last night against the Panthers, his numbers were crazy again. Played a great game. Shout out to the Swayman. He's balling out. And dude, he's got Linus Ullmark backing him up. He's got another incredible goalie on the Boston bench. Shout out to the Bruins, man. They got it done. Hampus Lindholm, he had a goal and
Oh,
an
he's so
assist in that
good.
series,
Yeah.
clinching game. He played awesome. Jake DeBrusk looks like he's got a little bit of life. I mentioned his first game numbers, but throughout the series, he looks like he's been adding a little bit to it.
Charlie
Geeky, he looks
McAvoy could have a better series, but
McAvoy could have a better series.
yeah.
Zacha's been looking pretty good. Dude, they're a good team.
Just
Shout out to the
feisty
Bruins.
and really well coached, man. Really well
Oh
coached.
yeah, very well coached. I believe I picked Bruins in six in our storyline. So shout out to me. I think you had Leafs in seven.
I
That's tough. I
did.
get it. You're in Ontario. It's hard to pick against them,
Fuck
but
off.
I was kind of being genuine. Like it,
No,
you're surrounded by Leafs fans. It's hard to pick against them.
I mean, it just felt like this was the year to slay the dragon, you know? Like they made it past the first round last year. They could totally take Boston this year. But I was not expecting them to go down 3-1 like they did. Like that's crazy.
No.
That's crazy.
I want to give a big shout out to Beast fan Ben and Tina, the science guy, and Ken Buds. Three guys that are big Bruins fans that listen to the show. They're probably pretty happy to see them get that win in that series. And I've been texting with all of them a little bit. So happy for you guys to see your team make it out of the first round too. And again, to the Leafs fans that listen, we're sorry for what you guys have to go through, and we hope that this segment didn't hurt you as much as it could have.
Yeah, shout out guys. Okay. Miles, the next series.
You might as well take this because it's your favorite team.
Get the hell out of here. The first in the Central Dallas Stars versus the
Woo!
wild card to Vegas Golden Knights, who the Stars beat them in seven. Thank goodness. After going down 2-0, the Stars woke up and ended Vegas's repeat run. In a seven-game thriller, Wyatt Johnson obviously looking like a big-time playoff monster. 4 goals, 3 assists in the series. Went like a pick after Xavier Borgo. Game one, Ottinger let
Dog.
in. Yeah, absolutely dog. And also makes like literally 10 times less than Mitch Marner. Game one, Ottinger let in four on the first 15 shots and then wasn't below a .920 save percentage for the rest of the series. So that was a good look for him to bounce back. Then the LTIR merchant Mark Stone had 3 goals, 0 assists in the series. Eichel was a point per game player, and Noah Hanifin contributed with 5 points. Thomas Hertl had 1 point in the series. Mantha had zero. Thompson and Hill both played well for the Golden Knights. 921, 235, or 931 and a 235 for Logan Thompson, and 931 and a 170 for Aiden Hill. I mean, storyline of the series, like good teams find a way to win, and also good teams that don't cheat the salary cap also find a way to win in this year of our Lord 2023, 2024. So,
Did you heard the wah of all time from Mark Stone, right?
yeah, his like, ooh, we treat him regular season, fuck off.
Yeah, maybe if we set ourselves up better during the regular season, we wouldn't be in this position. Like, who set honey, who set you up in the regular season?
Wah
You
for wah.
did. Yeah, honey. Oh my God. Fuck you, Mark Stone. And his wife took that picture with the LTIR 61 jersey. Karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god.
But he doesn't play on the Chiefs. He plays on the Dallas Stars.
Yes, sir. Exactly what we needed to happen. Dallas needed to go down. They needed to pay for their sins. Really good series, though. Very, very entertaining series, I
Oh,
thought.
entertaining series. And guess what we get to talk about next?
A not entertaining series?
Yeah, maybe. Was it
The
the
most
worst?
boring
Was it the
series of the
worst
first
of the
round?
first round?
Ooh. The series that we're talking about is the Vancouver Canucks, first place in the Pacific Division, defeating the wild card one Nashville Predators in six games. We got one game of Demko in this one before he went down, where it became DeSmith season. And then DeSmith goes down. Welcome to the show, Artis Silvos. He had a shutout in the series clinching game, making 28 saves for a 3-0 playoff record. Shout out to the young man doing the most. Brock Besser led the Canucks with 6 points. He had 4 goals and 2 assists. JT Miller also had 6 points. He had 1 goal and 5 assists. Philip Forsberg, he did his part for the Preds, 6 points in the series to finish off a great season of hockey. Just unfortunately, I think the rest of the Nashville Predators did not show up, excuse me, in the same way. I'll be honest, this was a boring series. Lots of good team defense, but low shot counts in games. And game winners being scored in like the dying seconds, dying minutes of games. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a whole bunch of it. I think I watched the last 10 minutes of game six, and I watched the last little bit of game one where Dakota Joshua scored like 6 seconds after the Canucks scored before and made it 3-1. I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of opportunistic jumps in this series that resulted in games finishing up the way they did. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts? I didn't watch a whole lot of it, and I really don't have much to say other than Artis Silvos stole the show and is making a good name for himself.
I watched that game where Colton Sissons missed the empty net, that big one.
Ah.
Other than that, man, I couldn't watch. I remember watching one of the games and I was like, how do the Canucks have like 9 shots on goal? Like, and it's funny because the Oilers would then follow up that game with their 13 shot performance against the Kings. So yeah, it was kind of one of those things where God, karma's a bitch, eh? But I just, yeah, shout out the Preds for making the playoffs. Like that's all you can ask for. I obviously had the very hot take and I said that the Preds were going to win in five, but,
I followed you up with Preds in seven. So we both look like stupid idiots.
But, good for the Vancouver Canucks. And I hope they do not win the series against the Oilers. That's all I'll say.
Amen to that. I agree with you. Nolan.
Yes.
It is time for the fun part of the show. Little palate cleanser. We're going to do some blind rankings. It's been a while since we've done these. I know that when we did them previously, we got a lot of really positive feedback. People said they really enjoyed it. So if you like it, it's back. If you don't like it, you have the option to fast forward. What we are going to be doing here today is blind ranking remaining players in the playoffs based on conferences. So I'm going to give Nolan 5 Eastern Conference players, any 5 Eastern Conference players that are currently still in the playoffs, and he has to rank them. Does that sound hard? Yes. Will he do a good job? Yes, because I promised to be nice to him, and I gave him some good ones here. So once we do the Eastern Conference, then Nolan's going to flip back, and he's going to give me 5 Western Conference players. Any questions from your end?
No, I think I got it. I've also placed my Western Conference players up in front of me for you. So once I finish the Eastern, then I will give you the Western.
Are you going to be nice too?
I think I'm pretty nice. I think it's pretty obvious. I think you should be able to rank it pretty easily.
I mean, I'm nice to you here, but mine are hard.
I would say I'm not giving you all good players, but there's a little bit mixed.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. First player for you from the Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman.
I'm going to go 2.
2?
Yeah.
Love it. Good pick. Good player. Good playoffs. All around. Nice pick. Also from the Boston Bruins, Pavel Zacha.
4.
Interesting. But I don't hate it because next up is Vincent Trocheck from the New York Rangers.
3. Yeah.
So that means that you have 1 and 5 left.
Mm-hmm.
And the player that's up next is Seth Jarvis.
5, I guess.
I got You unfortunately had to, and you played it right because the last remaining player is Alex Barkov.
Fuck yeah, thank you, God.
So that's, I told you I was going to be nice to you. I gave you five good players and
Thank you.
you played it really well. So you've got blind ranking. Barkov one, Swayman two, Trocheck three, Zacha four, Jarvis five. For a blind ranking, extremely respectable. If you could do it back, how would you go?
I would go, I would still go Barkov one. I'd probably go Swayman two. Yeah, I kept that. I would go. It's kind of tough between Jarvis and Trocheck because like one of them is like career achievement and the other one is like who would you take right now? I'd probably go Trocheck three, Jarvis four, and then Zacha five.
I think so too. That's
Yeah.
probably how I do it as well. Barkov one, Swayman two, Trocheck three, Jarvis four, Zacha five.
Helps that Trocheck's a center too.
But I mean, for me too, I would have no problem putting Jarvis three.
Excellent. Good stuff. Okay, Miles, I have we are gonna blind rank these Western Conference players. These are guys that are still in the playoffs, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. From your Edmonton Oilers. Leon Draisaitl.
I hate doing one right off the hop because I feel like you can't play around it anymore, but I also really don't want to leave Leon anywhere other than one, but I'm gonna put him at one. Leon Draisaitl one.
Great call, Miles. Up next, Miro Heiskanen from the Dallas Stars.
Miro Heiskanen is nice with it. Give me three.
Okay. Next up, we've got an Oiler. Actually, just kidding. It's a former Oiler. It's a current Colorado Avalanche. Andrew Cogliano.
Five.
Up next, we've got Sam Carrick
Fuck.
of the Edmonton Oilers.
Four, I guess.
And finishing off the list from the Vancouver Canucks, Elias Pettersson.
That's livable.
Yeah, so Elias Pettersson at two is fine.
Minus Carrick at four. But I mean Carrick Cogliano, I mean take your pick. What did Cogs do in the first round for the Avs? Did do much?
Honestly, let me just take a quick gander. How would you rank those players on if you were to redo it?
If I could do it again, I'd do Dry one, Heiskanen two, Pettersson three, Cogs four, Carrick five.
Dude, Cogs had 3 points in the fin five games.
Damn, yeah, good for him. Really
Dude,
good for him, actually.
he's on the verge of playing 1,300 regular season games.
He's had a good little career carved out for himself now.
He's one of my favorite
Shout out.
players of all time. I love him
Yeah,
so much.
shout out to Cogs. But I mean, if you're getting a blind ranking in that order, you got to put him at five. You got to hope that there's somebody better than him. But
Sorry, brother, for
alas,
giving you
there was
Sam
not.
Carrick in there.
It's okay. That's my bad. I'm just glad I went Draisaitl one. I think that was my
That was
savior.
such an elite call. I was like, when you said, I don't want to use one right off the bat in the back of my mind, I'm like, please, 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 please,
Please, please, please
please
use
pick
it.
one.
Yeah, I was exp I wanted I was expecting to get like a Ratnan or sorry not a Ratnan a McKinnon and then
Yeah.
be like fuck he's my three but worked out. I think that's okay.
Yeah, it worked out well. Okay. Miles, should we quickly go through this round two primer?
We should, and I think we would be remiss to not check our various apps because as we talk about this series, the Metropolitan One Rangers playing against the Metropolitan Two Hurricanes, they already got the series underway on Sunday. Boo, NHL, where the Rangers won 4-3. Rangers are looking good. What can you say? That being said, game two is
Oh
on
my God.
the tap right now, and it is 3-3
In
with 5.5
overtime.
minutes left in overtime. So we have a very good game two of a very good series starting off here. I guess I did say it's regular season series doesn't mean shit. But for those of you wondering, the Rangers did win this season series 2-1 and on their way to the President's Trophy. So Rangers looking to go up 2-0 in this series as they are currently in overtime.
Do you see shots on goal?
No, I haven't looked. Is it nasty?
The Rangers have 35. How many do you think the Hurricanes have? I just saw it.
50. Oh my god, they're peppering Shiesty. Holy shit.
Oh my lord. I just looked at the fucking Stars Avs game. Oh no.
Yeah, dude. That's another one. Holy hell is right.
Oh my god.
Okay, who are you picking in this series? How do you think it's gonna go?
We're
kind of cheating because it's already a one game.
I'm trying to think back to my picks for the playoffs. I still think that the Rangers are just too deep. So I've got the Rangers in six.
I am going to take the Hurricanes in seven.
Oh, I don't like it. Oh, I don't know if I like it. And why are Nick and Connor J. Rogers are not going to like that?
I don't think I like that either because I'm a bit of a Rangers simp. Can I take it back? No, I'm going to stick with it. No. What did I pick in my bracket? Hold on. Let me check.
I think I picked Rangers in my bracket.
I think I picked Rangers in my bracket too. I'm just hoping both teams have fun.
I worry about Freddie Anderson on the Hurricanes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that smells bad.
Also in the Eastern Conference, we have the Atlantic 1, Florida Panthers playing against the Atlantic 2, Boston Bruins. This is also a series that's already started. First game was played on Monday night. The Bruins had a huge second period and won that game 5-1. However, the Panthers outshot the Bruins 39-29 in that game. Another great game for Swayman. That man is going to get paid. Bruins won this season series two games with two overtime losses. So good. Bruins are tough. Bruins are good. That being said, I still think that the Panthers are too tough, too powerful, too strong. Their smoke is too different. Their swag too real. Panthers in six.
Yeah, I've got Panthers in six as well. Sorry, Boston. I just don't.
Sorry,
see
Bruins.
It. Yeah,
I think the Panthers just match up a little too nice. That if Bobrovsky gets his head out of his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. No, I think it's just overpowering for the Bruins. That's all. Yeah. Okay, Miles, the next one: Stars versus Avs.
Yeah, your Central Division winner against your Central Division three.
Game one tonight. Buckle up. This should be a very, very, very good series. It's probably gonna be the best series of the second round. But it seems like this series will live and die for the Stars with Jake Oettinger. The Avs did win the series 3-1. And currently, as it stands right now, in the first intermission, the Dallas Stars are up 3-0 on the Colorado Avalanche.
My goodness, hey.
Yep. Big, and they still have 51 seconds on the power play to go.
My goodness. Well, hey, if the Avs taught us anything from round one, maybe they don't show up game one. Maybe they don't realize the day that the series starts. I don't think that you can count the Avs out of this series just yet. And unfortunately for Dallas fans, hope you drink a lot of coffee because I think you're going to be watching another seven-game series, and I think you're going to be winning another seven-game series, Stars and seven.
Yeah, I've got that as well, Stars and seven. Okay, we did already talk about this game, but the Canucks, the first in the Pacific versus the Oilers, second in the Pacific. Game one is tomorrow night. Talk about a break. The Oilers have been off for a week, Canucks for 5 days, and everyone is just so, so ready for this one. Canucks obviously won the season series 4-0. We both gave our predictions. I said Oilers in six. And
as did I.
Correct you as well.
No.
All right. Well, let's not sit on that for much longer. Couple of little housekeeping notes before we clear out of here. Do you have anything else you want to say on the upcoming season series or the upcoming series?
Enjoy it, folks. It's going to be a good second round of hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hope the Oilers win it to move on to the next round. And then hopefully, oh God, that one of those central teams coming out on the other side is going to be absolutely mortifying. Okay, tonight is Tuesday, so therefore we know the turnout of the 2024 NHL Draft Lottery. Macklin Celebrini, the big consensus first overall pick, is the big talk of the town. And Miles, we have a winner. San Jose is getting Mr. Macklin Celebrini, assuming they pick him, which they will, but just in case there's some weird shit there. Followed up by Chicago, Anaheim, Columbus, Montreal, the Utah Hockey Club, Ottawa, Seattle, Calgary, New Jersey, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Minnesota, San Jose, which is from the Pittsburgh trade for Erik Karlsson, Detroit, and St. Louis. What do you think of San Jose winning Macklin Celebrini? And did you have any teams that maybe you wish that would have got him?
I'm very happy that Chicago didn't win. Yep. I think San Jose deserves him. It sucks that he's going to be in our division, but I mean, what can you do? San Jose tanked. San Jose sucked. They deserve to get the best player. I've got a friend who lives and cheers for the San Jose Sharks. So he's really excited. I'm looking forward to picking his brain and getting an idea of how that fan base feels about getting a number one guy. Good for them. Yeah, that being said, I think the biggest thing from this trade or from this draft lottery is Ottawa at 7, because they've got to decide what they're going to do, if they're going to forfeit this pick or if they're going to put it off another year. They still owe a first rounder for that Dadonov issue. So
yeah,
wonder if 7 is a pick to give up in a draft where not a lot of consensus is there after round or after pick 1. So maybe this is the draft to do it at 7. I don't know, but Ottawa's got a lot of issues, and Ottawa's got to figure it out. So maybe a prospect's good. I don't know. Tough to say. Not a Sens fan. Glad I'm not a Sens fan at this point, because I don't wish that on my worst enemy. But
Actually, a couple of Senators related notes here. We'll quickly just touch on this one before we get to the last one here. Travis Green is the new Sens head coach. Okay.
Okay.
Where did
he coach previously? Why can't I remember Travis Green?
He was the Canucks head coach when they were a big bubble run, and then was the interim for New Jersey last year.
Right.
So, kind of a lame duck head coach, but who knows? Maybe he works out really well with the Sens. I was honestly really hoping they would have hired Jay.
Yeah, Jay Wood.
Yeah. Woody is definitely going to get a job this year. And did you see that clip of him being like, I don't watch the Edmonton Oilers much anymore since I got let go?
I did. That hurt. That hurt a lot, actually. I would have really liked him to go, now that you say it, to Ottawa, because I don't want to play them very much. I don't want to play 100%. Against Woodcroft very much. Hoping that he stays far, far away, but has a good coaching career wherever he ends up, because we're still big Woodcroft guys. You want to talk about the other coach?
I worry San Jose is going to hire him. Okay. Let's talk about the other guy. Happy retirement to Rick Bowness, former Sens head coach. We will not miss him.
I'm not a Rick Bowness guy. I have said some mean things about Rick Bowness on the show. What a coward's way out to lose your series and then just say,
yeah, that's enough for me.
Well, to be fair, his family's been through a lot this season. So, I do feel in that way, like, you know, it's good for him to kind of walk away from the game. I know that he's definitely had some, I think he himself has had some health problems. I believe his wife has also had some health problems.
Leave it to me to call him a coward when he's going through tough personal stuff.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's more so of like his style of play. Like, it's really boring to watch Rick Bowness hockey.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, yeah. So, but 40 years of coaching in the NHL, 69 years old. Nice. he coached 2,726 games.
I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, sorry. As head coach, associate, or assistant in the NHL, and he's one of three coaches, including Scotty Bowman and Pat Quinn, to work in 5 different decades, and he was the last active coach to guide an NHL team in the 1980s.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
I didn't realize that he had that longevity.
He was coaching when Gretzky was in the league.
That's insane. But
Yeah.
also at the same time, probably a sign that it's time to bring in a little bit
Yeah,
of a
it's
youth movement.
time to hang it up.
Yeah, a lot of change that guy's seen in the game.
Yeah.
Nolan, anything else you want to say about the NHL, or can I read off next week's agenda?
Let's just get through these. Let's just read off these games and then
Yeah,
hopefully
you're probably
they
pretty
win.
tired.
I'm a little tired. I gotta edit this
Yeah.
thing. It's gonna be fun.
So, I mean, next week's agenda, pretty
Yeah.
straightforward. It is all games against the Vancouver Canucks. Game one in Vancouver, May 8th. That is tomorrow. Vancouver, or today if you're listening. Haha, because that's when it's going to come out. I am stupid. Game two, also in Vancouver on May 10th. We return to Edmonton May 12th for game three, followed by game four 2 days later, May 14th, also in Edmonton. Then they go back to Vancouver for game five, May 16th. If necessary, followed by game six, the only cool game in this series in Edmonton, because I believe that that is a Friday night, May 18th, if necessary, followed by a game seven back in Vancouver on May 20th, once again,
My
if necessary.
heart cannot handle that. Cannot
No,
handle a
sir.
game seven against Vancouver. I truly just can't do that.
I mean, we did pick six. I feel like if it is seven, it's, dude, I remember that game seven a couple of years ago against the LA Kings. I was
Yeah.
shitting full on bricks. So a round two game seven might kill me.
Remember how good Game five against Calgary was.
Oh my God. I remember screaming in my living room, jumping up. Yes! Yes!
Dude, that's the Connor McDavid legend right there. Oh my
That
God.
was
And the
so
Devin
good.
Shore legend that game too in the
Pot.
fucking in the hallway in the dressing room.
Potter's dad.
Potter's dad. I was reminded of that video that the NHL posted on their TikTok, and it was like them talking to Zach Hyman, and they're like, Zach, who's the most famous person in your phone? He's like, Tyson Barrie, the most well-connected man in hockey. And they're like, can you FaceTime him? And he says, yeah, sure. So he FaceTimes them, and Leon answers, and Leon's sitting next to Connor, and they're like, wow, they're way more famous than Tyson Barrie. And then they turn the camera around, and they show Nuge, who's sitting there, and who's fucking sitting across from them? That's right, our boy D. Shore, Potter's dad, sitting there. They're like, hey, it's Devin Shore. Look at his goatee. No joke, he says, look at his goatee.
Who said that?
Zach Hyman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's like, it's Devin Shore. Look at his goatee. I'll send it to you so you can get a good laugh out of it.
He's so pure,
But
so
he's just the
pure.
best. Just and that fucking little that little bastard in Vancouver. He's like, fuck Zach Hyman. That's like the nicest guy in the world.
Out of all the players on the Oilers team that you could say F that player, you're gonna pick Zach Hyman. You go away.
And Jack Campbell, who's like the 50 Cent meme, the what'd he say fuck me for?
Yeah. Why you say fuck me, people?
I love that video so much. Oh, it kills me. That and the one where 50 challenges Floyd Mayweather to read a Harry Potter book.
If you could read one
You
page of the Harry
Harry
Potter
Potter,
book.
fuck the bucket of ice, and he throws it. Instead of the ALS ice bucket challenge, it's the ELS reading spelling bee or something. Oh God.
That's so disrespectful, but that's so
50
funny.
Cent fucking kills me. Okay, Miles, did you have
Speaking of things
anything?
that kill us, the
Yeah.
Edmonton Oilers are playing round two playoff hockey
Oh,
against the
great.
Vancouver Canucks. We're excited, but we're nervous. Thank you for joining us for this episode, season one, episode 22 of the One for One
Season four.
podcast. What did I say, season two?
You said season one, episode
Oh my
22.
God. My brain doesn't work. I'll try that again. Thank you for joining us for this episode, season four, episode 22 of the One for One podcast, home of hot takes and hotter listeners. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you are excited as we are for round two. And we hope that you join us in saying, go Oilers, go.
Go Oilers, go.